الحمد لله أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له من يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى نبينا صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار يقول الإمام الذهبي رحمه الله تعالى الكبيرة الخامسة منع الزكاة The fifth kabira from the major sins that the people fall into, number five, is a person preventing giving the zakat of al-Islam. منع الزكاة Preventing oneself from giving the zakat as a kabira from the kabair in al-Islam. As it relates to the issue of the zakat in this chapter, zakat that he's talking about here obviously is the rukn from the arkan of al-Islam. And it is not talking about the regular general sadaqah. Every zakat is sadaqah, but not every sadaqah is zakat. So this chapter is talking about the zakat which is a rukn from the arkan of al-Islam, the pillar from the pillars of al-Islam. And the zakat, ikhwani, is more important in its daraja than the hajj is. And it's more important than the daraja of fasting. Salat is always mentioned with a zakat in the Quran. A zakat in the language of the Arabs, it means a ziyada wa namu. It means to grow something. So contrary to what many people believe, people who love money, people who love the dunya, they think that when you give money and you pay your zakat and your money leaves you, people believe that their money is decreased. Even though the Prophet told us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether it is the zakat or the sadaqah, ma naqasa malun qat min sadaqah. No one's money was ever depleted or made to be deficient as a result of giving sadaqah. As a result of giving sadaqah or paying the zakat, a person's money is increased. So a zakat to the Arabs in the language, it means an-namu, wa ziyada, to grow. The Arabs say, zaka, az-zara, the plants, the crops grew. And they use that word, zaka. It also means a purification. In the Quran and the Sunnah, we get that understanding that a zakat means linguistically to purify. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he described and explained some of the functions, some of the responsibilities that the Prophet had sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he came to us. He said about him in the Quran, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ Allah is the one who sent to the unlettered people. Those people who couldn't read or write. The Ummiyun. They were illiterate. He sent to them a Rasul from amongst themselves. He was a human being and he was Arab and he was unlettered just as they were. And what was his job? He taught them the book وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ And he purified them. So ikhwani, Allah Azza wa Jal used the word that zakat comes from to show that the Prophet ﷺ was a purifier. Everything that he ordered us to do is a purification for you. Everything that he made haram and warned us to stay away from is a purification for you if you stay away from it. And everything that you fall into that's haram or you don't do what he ordered you to do, you become dirty and you bring upon yourself the filth of the noob and ma'asi. To leave the beard is a purification. To not be musbil and to wear something, whatever it is, pants, a thobe, izar, whatever, below your ankle bones is a purification. As-salat al-salat والجمعة إلى الجمعة ورمضان إلى رمضان مكفرات لما بينهن. One prayer to the next prayer. One Jumma to the next Jumma. One Ramadan to the next Ramadan is a purification for you. When a person makes wudu, the sins of his hands, his arms, his mouth, his nose, his head, his feet, they fall off of him as a result of making the wudu. So everything that the Prophet ordered us to do, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no matter how big, no matter how small, if you do it, it is a zakat for you, it's a purifier for you. And everything that he told us not to do, if you fall into it, it is something that's going to make you dirty. Kalla bal rana ala qulubihim. No, instead, it is a dirt, it is a black thing that goes on their hearts. Bima kanu yaksibun, as a result of what they used to do. So anytime a human being falls into the dhunub and the ma'asi, he gets a black spot on his heart, and that's the dalil. If you fall into what is haram, you become dirty. If you do any aspect of the sunnah of al-Islam, you become purified, you become clean. So the meaning of a zakat, from the Quran and the Sunnah, the language of the Arabs, is that the zakat means to grow, and it also means to purify. Allah told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, خذ من أموالهم صدقة تطهرهم وتزكيهم بها. Take from their monies a sadaqa, so that you can cleanse them and purify them. وصلي عليهم إن صلاتك سكن لهم. And give them dua, the salawat. Send salawat upon them, Ya Muhammad, for verily your salawat upon them is a sakina for them. It is something that will make them tranquil. So that's the meaning of a zakat in the language of the Arabs. And that's the zakat that Al-Imam Al-Dhahabi is talking about in this particular chapter. He's not talking about the zakat of Al-Fitr, even though it is wajib. It is the zakat that the person pays with rice or dates or other than that, after his fast of Ramadan, to purify his fast of Ramadan. Whoever doesn't pay it, then he didn't complete the total fast of Ramadan, because the zakat al-fitr is a part of that. This is not what Al-Imam al-Dhahabi is talking about. He's talking about the zakat of our monies. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhuma. Jabir and his father Abdullah were both companions. He narrated an authentic hadith that's been collected by Imam al-Tabarani rahimahullahu ta'ala. For you students of knowledge, Imam al-Tabarani is a scholar of al-Islam, a scholar of al-Hadith that you should know about. He has three books of al-Hadith. Imam al-Tabarani, and not al-Tabari, al-Tabarani. And I'm going to come back to ask you this, because in his books of Hadith are Hadith that you can't find anywhere else in the dunya except in his book. So the student of knowledge can't do without the books of Al-Imam Al-Tabarani. He has three books in Hadith. The first one is called Al-Mu'jam Al-Kabir. And the second one is the Mu'jam Al-Saghir. And the third one is the Mu'jam Al-Awsit. The big Mu'jam, the little Mu'jam, and the middle Mu'jam. Each one has his own particular minhaj of what he was trying to do. I'm going to come back and I'm going to ask you that question. Al-Imam al-Tabarani, what's the name of his three books? Al-Mu'jam al-Kabir, wal-Saghir, wal-Awsat. The big, the small, and the middle. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu said that the Prophet ﷺ was approached by a man, and the man said, Ya Rasulullah, ara'ayt. In adda ar-rajul zakata malihi, yani mada alayhi. The man came and said, Ya Rasulullah, if a man were to give the money of the zakat, he paid his zakat, what's going to happen? What's the situation? What happens if a man pays the zakat that he is supposed to pay? The Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man zakka man adda zakata malihi faqad dhahaba anhu sharruhu. Man adda zakata malihi faqad dhahaba anhu sharruhu. Whoever pays the zakat money that he owes, the paying of that zakat will take away the evil of that money. So all of the money that you have in your pocket, or that you have saved up, or the property that we have, all of it is dirty until a person purifies it. He purifies it as a result of the way he gets it, being thankful when he gets it, thanking Allah Azza wa Jal, and also he has to purify it by giving sadaqah and giving zakat but with that money that he has received. So that hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu, it also goes to show that a zakat, in the language of the Arabs, it means purification. When you give the zakat of your money, it purifies the money that is left with you. Zakat, ikhwani, is a rukn from the arkan of al-Islam, and it is a bab of knowledge that we have neglected as an ummah. The vast majority of Muslims do not have the slightest idea who pays the zakat. There are people from amongst us who actually think you have to have £10,000 in order to pay or to be responsible for paying the zakat. And a person never pays because he says, I don't have enough money to pay. I'm on public assistance, so I don't have to pay the zakat. But in fact, he has enough money where he should be paying the zakat. We don't study about this issue of a zakat. What should be paid, how it should be paid, when it should be paid, who are the 8 people that it should be paid to. It is a bab of fiqh that, wallahi, the ummah of al-Islam, we have neglected it. Just like the fara'id. In the past, it was common practice for the salaf to teach the little children to memorize the ahkam of the miraf, the inheritance. These are sciences that today, if you call the people to come in order to learn this science, you'll get 3 or 4 people who'll attend. And they'll say, that knowledge is boring. That knowledge is boring. Even though it is a knowledge with it, the religion and the huquq of the ibad, it is protected. So today, inshallah, what I was going to do originally was to start to combine 2 or 3 of the kaba'ir, but this is a chapter that we want to deal with it exclusively by itself. The bab of not paying the zakat. The Prophet told us in an authentic hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ فِتْنَةٍ وَإِنَّ فِتْنَةَ أُمَّتِي الْمَالِ. Every ummah has a fitna. And the fitna of my ummah is money. The fitna of my ummah is money. The people of this ummah, they have the deen, that is the truth. But as a result of the fitna of the money, a lot of times, a lot of problems we see taking place in the ummah of al-Islam. Everyone knows that Allah has created us for His worship and His worship alone. And He hasn't created us in order to collect money. If we look in our community, ikhwani, to show you the fitna of the dunya, there are those from amongst us who we have telephones, landlines in our homes. The father has 2 mobile phones, or 3. Some of us have 3 mobile phones. The wife has 2 mobile phones. The child has a mobile phone. And the one who's younger than that has a mobile phone. With all of those mobiles, for an example, the person has to ask himself, are these issues from what I really need in order to get on with my life? It's the fitna of the dunya. The keeping up with what Fulan and Alan purchased, the latest car, the latest model. The regular TV that I have is not enough. I have to get one of the special plasma, big screen TVs. Even though it does not bring me closer to Allah, nor does it give me a better picture in reality. Whatever I watch on a no good TV, I can watch it on the plasma. But that's how it is, the fitna of the dunya. That the Prophet said about it, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, إِنَّ الدُّنْيَا حُلْوَةُ خَدِرًا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مُسْتَخْلِفَكُمْ فِيهَا فَنَاظِرْ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ وَاتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا وَاتَّقُوا النِّسَاءَ فَإِنَّ أَوَّلْ فِتْنَةِ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ كَانَتْ فِي النِّسَاءَ. Verily the dunya is like a beautiful green pasture. It's like a beautiful green pasture. But in that green pasture, there is defecation here, defecation there. There's a hole over here, a hole over there. It's not really what it appears to be. And verily Allah put you people in this dunya so that He can see how you'll behave. So fear the dunya and fear the nisa. Because the first fitna of Bani Israel was in the women and with the women. So the fact that he connected the women along with the dunya is an ayah for the uqala. A man has a wife who insists, I want the latest model and this, the latest model and that. It's not enough to have 2 pairs of shoes. I have to have 12, 13, 15 pairs of shoes. I have to have this and I have to have that. the fitna of the dunya and the fitna of the nisa. It has taken over our ummah. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ikhwani, went through great lengths in order to tell us, to warn us, to explain to us the reality of the dunya. Don't be a person who doesn't give his money because he's afraid of being impoverished. The dunya is a fitna. He says sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam, a tremendous hadith, given the reality of the dunya and the reality of the people. Man kanat al-akhira akbar hammihi ja'ala Allahu ghinahu fi qalbihi wa jama'a lahu shamlahu wa atatu ad-dunya wa hiya raghima wa man kanat ad-dunya akbar hammihi ja'ala Allahu al-faqr fi bayna 'aynayhi wa farraqa 'alayhi shamlahu wa lam ya'ti min ad-dunya illa ma qaddara lahu. Whoever the akhirah is the most important thing to him, he keeps that in his mind, so he prays, he gives zakat, he pays sadaqah, he's patient, he watches what he says, he gets good friends, he tries to come to the masjid, he makes halal halal, haram haram, she wears the hijab, he leaves the lihya, and on and on and on, because the akhirah is the most important thing to him. Whoever this is his case, Allah will put riches in his heart, contentment in his heart. Whatever his situation is, he'll be content. And Allah will bring together for him his affairs. His children will memorize the Quran. He'll have children who are well behaved. He'll have children who excel in their school. He'll have a situation in his family life where people are together. He has a functional relationship with all of the members of his family, with his community. Allah will bring together for him his affairs, and the dunya will come to him despite itself. The dunya, you'll find it coming to him despite the dunya. And whoever made the dunya the most important thing to him, Allah will put his poverty before his very eyes. And Allah will make his affairs scattered and in disarray. And nothing will come to him from the dunya except what has been decreed upon him. So with that being the case, we should make a nice effort in trying to accumulate from the dunya what is there to be accumulated, because the dunya is a fitna. Al-Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said, in showing that leaving off paying the zakat is a kabira from the kabair, the statement of Allah ta'ala in the Quran, وَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ كَافِرُونَ. Woe unto the mushrikeen. Ikhwani, some of you have read that wail, whenever Allah uses the word wail in the Quran, wail للمطففين, wail. You've read that wail is a valley in the hellfire, and in it is molten brass, and in it is this, and in it is that. There's no authentic hadith that would prove that and support that. You can just translate it as being, woe unto them. They are in trouble, the mushrikeen. Those people who do not give the zakat, and they do not believe in the hereafter. They are kuffar. And then Allah Ta'ala mentioned a description of the ahbar, those monks and priests from the Yahud and the Nasara. And he said, proving the point that leaving off the zakat is a kabira from the kabair, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ يَوْمَ يُحْمَى عَلَيْهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ فَتُكْوَى بِهَا جِبَاهُهُمْ وَجُنُوبُهُمْ وَظُهُورُهُمْ هَذَا مَا كَنَزْتُمْ فَذُوقُوا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْسِبُونَ. Allah Ta'ala is describing the ruhban and the monks and the priests from the Yahud and the Nasara. He said that they are those people who they hoard up their gold and their silver, and they don't spend it in the cause of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And you should give them the glad tidings of a severe punishment. On the day, Yawmul Qiyamah, they will be branded with what they held behind. Their foreheads, their flanks, and their backs. So give them the bushra of a grievous penalty. Even though this ayat was revealed describing the monks from the Jews and the Christians, nonetheless, the benefit of it is that it applies to everyone who falls into that category. So those are the two dalils from the Quran that Al-Imam Al-Dhahabi brought, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and radiyallahu anhu ikhwani, he said, when he looked at the Quran, he found that Allah Azza wa Jal many times mentioned the Salat and he mentioned the Zakat in so many ayat. He would mention the Salat and the Zakat together, showing the importance of both of them and showing how they both cannot and should not be separated. Like the statement of Allah Ta'ala, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. Just in Surah Al-Baqarah, too many ayat. Establish the Salat and give the zakat, and make ruku', bow down with those who bow down. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَقْرِضُوا اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. Make the salat and give the zakat, and loan unto Allah a good loan. The Quran mentions the salat and the zakat so many times. فَإِنْ تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. If those kuffar make tawbah and they become Muslims, and they establish the salat and they give the zakat, then they are your brothers in the deen. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, لَقَدْ أُمِرْتُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ فَمَنْ لَمْ يُزَكِّي فَلَا صَلَاةَ لَهُ. You people have been ordered to make the salat and to give the zakat. Whoever doesn't give the salat, the zakat, then in fact, he has no salat. So he was of the opinion that if a person prayed, but he didn't give the zakat and he wasn't a muzakki, then his salat was rendered null and void. And that is a position and a opinion of some of the ulama of al-Islam. Al-Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullahu ta'ala now goes into the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam to prove not giving the zakat is a kabira from the kabair. A number of authentic hadith he brought. Like the hadith that the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا مِن صَاحِبْ إِبْلٍ وَلَا بَقَرْ وَلَا غَنَمْ لَا يُؤَدِّ مِنْهَا زَكَاتَهَا إِلَّا بُطِحَ لَهَا يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ بُقَعْ قَرْقَرْ تَنْتَهُهُ بِقُرُونِهَا وَتَتَعُوا بِأَخْفَاقِهَا كُلُّ مَا نَفِدَتْ عَلَيْهِ أُخْرَاهَا عَادَتْ عَلَيْهِ أُولَاهَا حتى يقضى بين الناس في يوم كان مقداره 50,000 سنة ثم يرى سبيله إما إلى الجنة وإما إلى النار وما من صاحب كنز لا يؤدي زكاته إلا مثل له كنزه يوم القيامة شجاع أقرأ. There is not a human being, a Muslim, who he is the possessor of any type of animals, like a camel, or a cow, or a sheep, and he doesn't give the zakat for his camel, or his sheep, or his cows. He holds them back, and he doesn't pay the zakat with those products, with those animals, except that yawmul qiyamah, they will be thrown in his face. And they will come yawmul qiyamah, and they will trample over him with their hooves, and they're going to stick him yawmul qiyamah with their horns. Every time one of them goes over him with his horn and his hoof, he's going to go and he'll go back and he'll get in line until he'll continuously be in that situation until Allah Ta'ala judges between the people on that day, which will be like 50,000 years. And the individual who has money, gold, silver, dollars, paper money, pounds, and he doesn't give the zakat, Rasulullah said in the same hadith sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that money will be made to come as a snake that has two big lumps on his head or two big lumps on his tail, and he has the ability to stand up on his tail and is going to strike him and bite him, and that will be his reward for not giving the zakat. The man will be frightened and terrorized, and he'll ask the snake, who are you? What are you? He's going to say, I'm what you held behind and you didn't give and you didn't pay the zakat on. So those people who don't give the zakat, it is a serious issue in al-Islam. So al-Imam al-Dhahabi clearly, he made this a kabira from the kabair because of the wasf, because of the description. We mentioned before, you know that a sin is a kabira from the kabair because Allah or His Messenger said it. Or number two, because of the description, something like this taking place, it wouldn't happen with a small sin or a small crime. Allah Azza wa Jal would not put someone through this type of terror and pain for a small sin or a small crime, and He is Al-Latif, and He is Al-Rahman, and He, Tabarak wa Ta'ala, is Al-Ghafur. The last way and the third way that we know that something is a kabira from the kabair is if it has a had from the hudud of Al-Islam. If you get your hand chopped off, then that thing is a kabira. If you're stoned, then that thing is a kabira. If you're expelled out of the city, then that thing is a kabira. The next point, from the actions of the Salaf, the Quran, the authentic hadith, now the actions of the Salaf. Al-Imam al-Dhahabi was Salafi. He was on the way of the Salaf al-Salih. He understood that what the companions used to do is a hujjah or a proof against us. So he brought the third dalil to show that not giving the zakat is a kabira from the kabair. قال وَقَدْ قَاتَلَ أَبُو بَكَرَ الصَّدِّيقُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ مَانِعِ الزَّكَاةِ فَقَالْ وَاللَّهِ لَوْ مَنَعُونِي أَنَاقٍ كَانُوا يُوَدُّونَهَا إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَقَتَلْتُهُمْ عَلَى مَنْعِهَا. And Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, the most knowledgeable of this ummah, the best person of this ummah, the best person from the sons and daughters of Adam after all of the Anbiya radiyallahu anhum. Al-Imam al-Dhahabi said he waged war against those people who refrained from giving the zakat. And he said to the companions when they came to him, how are you going to fight these people? And they say, La ilaha illallah. Abu Bakr said, Wallahi, if those people prevent me from an anaq, one anaq that they used to give Rasulullah, Wallahi, I'm going to fight them for it. The anaq, ikhwan, is the female camel that has not reached a year. So a man, he has 10,000 camels. He gives Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam 200 camels from his 10,000 camels. During the khilaf of Abu Bakr, the man gives 200 camels as he used to give Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he chose to keep one baby camel that should have been given. Abu Bakr said, Wallahi, I'll make jihad on him for that one camel. Even though he gave me 200, if he left back one small camel behind or something insignificant that he should have given, then verily I'm going to fight them. This athar of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, ikhwan, it should be understood. 2 points. Number one, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, as I mentioned already, is and was the best of this ummah after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is one of the proofs of that. And that on this particular day, the day that the people apostated and they left Islam, Abu Bakr was the jama'ah all by himself. There was an ummah of Muslims, companions who were there. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was the jama'ah. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he described the jama'ah. What's the jama'ah? This jama'ah, they say that the haqq is with them. This group over here, they say that they're the jama'ah. The people on this madhab say that they're the jama'ah. That masjid over there, they say that they're the jama'ah. Who's the jama'ah? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, Al-jama'at huwa hi al-haq wa in kunta wahdik. The jama'ah is the truth, even if you were by yourself upon the truth. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the jama'ah on this day when the people left the religion of al-Islam and they apostated because all of the companions were against the fact that he waged war and declared war against the people who didn't give the zakat. Until he was able to convince them with the proofs that the haqq is with them. And then after that, Umar radiallahu anhu and other than them, they got with the program of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The second thing about Abu Bakr that is just as important that we want to bring your attention to from this athar and this incident. Abu Bakr was well known for his tenacity in holding on to the sunnah. He was tenacious. He would not move an inch to the right or the left unless he had a dalil that would allow him to do so. And once he knew what the sunnah was, he didn't care what people thought about him. And he didn't care how many people were against him. Obviously, he has hikmah and he has knowledge. He's not going to be reckless and destroy things. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was a man of the sunnah and he was upon the sunnah. In this case, he showed all of the companions what the Prophet did, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the haq, and that's what I'm going to do. When he was going to send the army of Usama radiallahu anhu, everyone gave him advice because he used to take the advice of the people. What do you think we should do? What do you think we should do? What do you think we should do? Everyone said, don't send the army. We need the army to protect Medina. If the army leaves, we're going to be weak. Abu Bakr, in showing his seriousness about the sunnah, he told the people, wallahi, I will not untie a knot that Rasulullah tied, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. What he did was good enough for me. And that was the haq in that particular issue. We have in this masjid many brothers who want to practice the sunnah and they want to be upon the sunnah. But I have to say to you brothers, practicing the sunnah and being upon the sunnah requires knowledge of the sunnah. One of the things that we see in our masjid that many people do, and we have to begin to ask ourselves, in order to do this, or in order to believe in this, where is the proof that I'm following? Don't be a copycat. Don't just copy people. Find out why you do what you do. The man is praying in the jama'ah, and he came and he missed one rak'ah or two rak'ah. After the salah, after the salam of the imam, that person gets up and he moves forward to take a sutra to the right or the left. This is not from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and is being done by a person who wants to practice the sunnah. He has good intent. He wants to practice the command of praying to a sutra. But did the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam leave us that as an example? That's for the person who's trying to practice the sunnah. What about the people who don't have any idea what the sunnah is? They have no idea. So when it's a year after the death of a relative, they gather the people together and they read the Quran. He reads some, he reads some, he reads some. And they believe that that reward is going to go to that dead person. And that's the only time they read the Quran. Every year on the anniversary of a death of someone, they do this. We have to ask ourselves, ikhwan, is that from our religion or is not from our religion? We have to be like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Don't take a step in this religion without knowing why. Someone came to me today and they said, is it true that the malaika, they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do the malaika see Allah? A question as a knowledge-based question. I said, based upon what I know, the malaika do not see Allah. They said, someone said that the malaika see Allah. He has a right to say that, maybe as a dalil. It's your responsibility to ask me, to ask him, to ask that one, where is the dalil for that? Where is the dalil? We don't believe and we don't do any forms of worship in this religion without proofs, clear proofs. That's Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And that's why he's the most knowledgeable of this ummah, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So this hadith here says that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, if they used to give an anaq, a little camel, I'm going to fight him. Some of the narrations also said that he said, if they used to give him an iqal, and the iqal is what is tied around the head. The Arabs used to use it to tie up the leg of the animals. If they used to give that to Rasulullah and they refused to give it to me, I'm going to fight them. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Wa qala Allahu tabarak wa ta'ala, wa la yahsabanna alladhina yabkhuluna bima atahum Allahu min fadlihi huwa khayrun lahum, bal huwa sharrun lahum. سيتوقون ما بخلوا به يوم القيامة ولله ميراث السماوات والأرض والله بما تعملون خبير. Allah Ta'ala said, do not think that those people who refuse to give out of that which we've given them from our virtues. Allah gave it to you from His own virtue. Do not believe that when they refrain from giving, it is better for them. In fact, it is worse for them. What they don't give will be tied around their necks, Yawmul Qiyamah, from that zakat money that they didn't pay, and they will be punished with it. And to Allah belongs all of the money in the heavens and the earth, and He knows well what you people do. The authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, where he said about the zakat, مَنْ مَنَعَهَا فَإِنَّ أَخِذُوهَا وَالشَّطْرَ إِبْلِي أَزْمَةٌ مِّنْ أَزَمَاتِ رَبِّنَا. Listen to what happens in the Islamic State when the person doesn't give the zakat. He doesn't say the zakat shouldn't be given. He believes in zakat, but he says, I'm not going to give it. Or he refuses to pay in any way that he refuses. He hides, he doesn't let the person in charge know where he's at. Rasulullah says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the person who prevents himself from giving the zakat, we're going to take half of his money and half of his animals as a command that Allah Ta'ala has legislated. So the penalty for not getting zakat, when the Khalifa or the Hakim or the Imam gets a hold of the person, is that he has the right to take half of all of his money as a penalty, and half of all of his animals as a penalty, as a result of preventing himself from the zakat. In the religion of Al-Islam, Ikhwan, if someone came to your house as a guest, the guest who you open your door to and you allow him to be your dhayf, your guest, he has a right that you take care of him for 3 days. 3 days and three nights. And the Prophet allows, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the guest, if his host does not take care of him the proper way, he doesn't feed him, doesn't give him to drink, the Prophet allowed us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the guest to take his right from the host. He allowed the one who's the guest to take food, to take drink from the host. Obviously, he can't do it in a way that's going to cause a bigger fitna. He can't go into the kitchen and his wife is in the kitchen and then claim, I'm going to take my haq. The point is, Al-Islam gave the dayf huquq. From the huquq of the dayf is, if the host or the hostess doesn't take care of him, he has the right to take what he needs. If that's the case with the guests, then obviously the issue of the zakat, which is the haq of Allah and the haq of the ibad, is going to be even more serious. So from the penalties of not giving the zakat, and a proof that it's a kabira from the kabair, is the fact that Al-Islam, Allah Ta'ala, has legislated that the imam, the hakim, he is allowed to take half of the property of a man, his money, as well as his animals. Al-Imam al-Nawawi al-Dhahabi rahimahullah ta'ala, he brings the last hadith of this chapter. An Yahya ibn Abi Kathir qala haddathani Amir al-Uqayli anna abahu akhbarahu annahu sami'a Aba Hurairah radiyallahu anhu yaqul qala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam awwalu thalathatin yadkhuluna an-nar amirun musallat وذو ثروة لا يؤدي حق الله عز وجل وفقير فخور. He brought the last hadith, and this hadith says that the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first three people who will enter into the hellfire yawm al-qiyamah will be, number one, the amir, the leader who is oppressive. He is oppressive. The second one is the one who has money, but he doesn't give Allah his haq. He doesn't pay the zakat. He will be one of the first three people to enter into the hellfire. And the third one is a poor person who is fakhur. A fakir who is fakhur. A poor person who is arrogant. He has nothing to be arrogant about. Concerning this hadith seems to contradict the hadith that's well known to us, that the first three people will be put into the hellfire will be the one who made jihad, and the one who read the Qur'an. He had knowledge and he read the Qur'an, so that it would be said that he was a qari of the Qur'an. And the third one was the rich man who used to give in order to be seen, and it was said that he was generous. So based upon that, it appears that this hadith is not authentic. But because I don't have my books available to research the hadith, I'm not going to say it's authentic or it's not authentic. Allahu A'lam. Since Al-Imam Al-Dhahabi brought it last in the chapter, more than likely it seems to be not authentic. In addition to that, he said that Al-Imam Ibn Abi Yahya, that he himself narrated it alone. It appears that it's not authentic. But I'm not going to say it's authentic, nor am I going to say that it is not authentic. Allahu A'lam. It seems to go against what is authentic. We don't have the ability to judge that because of the circumstances. He brought, lastly, the athar of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, that's similar to the statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Allah has ordered you people to make the salah and to give the zakat. Whoever doesn't make the zakat, whoever doesn't give the zakat, he has no salah. That is a valid position concerning the ulama of al-Islam. That's the chapter of az-zakat, and the next chapter is the chapter of taking care and being diligent to look out for our parents. Those people who have given us life, bi-idhnillah, wa bi-fadlihi. Before getting into that chapter, because it's one of the longest chapters of the books, of the book, Kitab al-Kaba'ir, as it relates to our monies, ikhwani, the money that we have is a trust that Allah Ta'ala has given us. No one is going to die without him collecting all of the money that was written for him. So the young man who wants to get married, but he has financial difficulties, no place to live or to put his wife, he has to be patient. The one who is miskeen or faqir cannot and should not look at people and wish that he had money like that, because if he had money like that, his life is going to be better. And of course, the Muslim should never ever allow himself to play the lottery and to dream, if I hit the lottery, 14 million pounds, it's going to be all over. 14 million pounds, I'll be the happiest person in the world. Money is a fitna, and Allah knows who to give money to and who not to give money to. You'll be surprised as it relates to the hadith. Every ummah has a fitna, and the fitna of my ummah is money. You'll be surprised at what some Muslims do for money. From what we've come to know from the Muslims, is the imam in America who went to the Gulf States and came back with $5 million, almost 20 million riyals, money to build a masjid. But the fitna of this ummah is money. Money to build a masjid. 5 million pounds. Use that money to buy cocaine and started selling cocaine. The Muslim collects the money from the Muslims, the Zakat al-Fitr. And he's in charge of the Zakat al-Fitr at the door on the day, the last day of Ramadan, the first day of Shawwal. The people will come on the day of Eid, rushing, giving him the money. He's taking the people's money. £5, £5, everyone, £5, on and on and on. And he only gives the people back half of that money. In the masajids of the Muslims, people break in and they go into the money boxes and steal the money. They steal the money from the money box in the masjid, because the money is a fitna for the people in general, except the one who has taqwa and the one who realizes money is not the goal and the objective, but instead it is a vehicle, whether you have a lot of it or a little. The Prophet said about it, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لا تستبطئوا الرزق فوالله إنه لن تموت نفس حتى تأخذ حقها مما كتب لها فأجملوا في الطلب. Do not be in haste. Do not try. Do not try to gather money and just, you're rushing trying to gather money. You're in a panic and you're doing everything by hook or crook just to gather money. Working 2-3 jobs. You're just trying to get the money. Don't do that. I swear by Allah, no soul will die until it has accumulated all of the money that has been written for it. So make a good attempt in bringing the money together. Make a good effort in trying to get the money that you do get, because you're going to be asked about it. How did you spend it? What did you do with it? And it'll come and it'll be an argument against you. So ikhwani, during the course of this year inshallah, especially as Ramadan gets close inshallah, the zakat is a bab from the abwab of knowledge in al-Islam that we should take some time out to learn. We don't have to get deep into it, nor do we have to deal with the issues that don't concern us, like if I had 2,000 camels, how much do I give in zakat? We don't have any camels, so we don't have to deal with that issue. But in terms of the gold of our wives, in terms of our property, in terms of our businesses, in terms of how much money we have, in terms of who has what and who should pay, these are issues that every Muslim should concern himself with. And he shouldn't look at it as business as usual. I've never paid zakat. I'm not from the rich people, and I'm not going to give zakat. Zakat is an obligation, and it is a major obligation, more important than Ramadan, more important than Hajj. It's been connected with the Salat, which is the most important rukun from the Arkan al-Amaliyah, the Arkan or the Rukun, the pillars of actions. Ta'isa Abdul Dinar wa Abdul Dirham wa Abdul Khamis. In Urtiya Radiya, when Lam Yurta Sakhita, they will be destroyed. The one who was a slave of the dinar, the one who is the slave of the dirham, the one who is the slave of his clothes. He's a slave of his clothes. He has the nicest clothes. If you go, and this is just an example, Ikhwan, this is not to pick on any particular group, but it is a fact. If you go to the countries like in the Gulf states where the people wear the gutra, covering your head is from al-Islam and it's from the etiquettes of al-Rajula, being a man in al-Islam. But when did the Muslims ever become preoccupied to the point where the Muslim is always looking in the mirror, fixing his gutra all the time? Whoever wears a gutra, wherever he is, nothing wrong with wearing a gutra. But when the person becomes preoccupied in the salat, and he's in the mirror. Women, that's the characteristics of the women, and they're not criticized for that. They should try to look beautiful and smell beautiful. But the Prophet said about the men, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-badadatu min al-iman. Al-badada min al-iman. Al-badada means to leave yourself without combing your hair and your beard. Al-badada means not to put a dihn, oil on yourself. To go disheveled sometime. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Kana yamshi hafiyan ahyanan." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to walk barefooted sometimes. If something fell on the ground that he was eating, he would pick it up and wipe it off, and he would eat it. With a personality like that, when it was time for jihad, when it was time to order with the ma'ruf, to stop the munkar, when it was time to make a serious effort to prove or to protect himself, his family, the deen, he was ready. And those who were with him were ready. But when the foe became the most important thing to the Muslim man, he can't sit down in his chair until he gets a napkin and he wipes the chair off. He can't do anything. He can't do anything except he has to look slim and trim and fit. This is permissible to stay in shape, but not to go overboard. Not to go overboard. The one who is an abd of his clothes, he has been lost. The Prophet said, if he is given, he becomes happy. If he's given money, he's happy. If he's not given money, he becomes upset. So the dinar and the dollar and the dirham should not be the most important thing to the Muslim. And the Muslim realizes that the most important thing is the ibadah of Allah Azza wa Jal. And all of these issues are wasa'il. So those of us who have money, but our money has not reached the level of giving the zakat, still you should give sadaqah from what you do have. The sadaqah that you do have will cause more money to be given to you. Everyone knows that Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu was from the poorest of the Muslims, and yet the Prophet used to tell him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya Bilal, anfaq yunfaq alayk. Hey Bilal, give money and money will be given back to you. If you give what you have, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will increase your money, even if you don't have that much. So we're going to stop on this particular chapter here. Guys, if you brothers have any questions, inshallah, concerning today's man'u zakat, any comments, you can put them forth now. Now, Al-Minshi. Salaam alaikum. Alaykum salam.
Do we have to give zakat on our cars?
You mentioned the camels, so I thought, you know, expensive cars, we have to give zakat.
You don't have to give zakat on your cars. A car, you can't make the qiyas of a car with a camel. You can't make qiyas of a car with a camel because there is a nas or a text that the Prophet ﷺ told the people, if you have these many camels, you have to give this many camels in zakat. This many cows, you have to give these many cows in zakat. These many sheep, you have to give these many sheep in zakat. And you can't make qiyas or analogy because it's a riding beast with the car. Because they didn't use that just as riding beasts. Maybe the camels were just for his property, it was his money. He didn't ride them. He had a horse, for an example. So you don't have to give zakat for your car. Any questions, Ikhwani? Naam, tafaddal, madhar.
Yeah, is there any more ajr in giving you zakat during Ramadan or not?
Naam, some people believe, Ikhwani, that Ramadan is the only time from the conditions of the zakat is that you have to have enough money, and also a year has to go around and that same money is with you. Many people believe that Ramadan is the only time that you can give the zakat at the end of Ramadan or during the month of Ramadan, and that's not the case. That is not the case. The person can give zakat after he had his money for a year, no matter what month that it fell in, but it was from the practice of the Salaf that because Ramadan is one of those months that has a lot of mercy and a lot of ajr in it, that the people gave their zakat in this month, but it's not a condition to do so.
How much do you have to give new money? Say if you got £100, how much?
The person who has to give the zakat has to give 2.5% of his monies. He has to pay 2.5% of his money that stayed with him for a year. 2.5% of his money that stayed with him for a year. As we mentioned in the Dars, Ikhwani, the issue of the zakat is an issue that doing the answers and the questions is not where you get appreciation and an understanding of the chapter or the bab of the zakat. But you have to learn it chapter by chapter, issue by issue. So we can answer questions here, but again, the way you really understand the issue of a zakat is by studying the chapter itself.
Salaam alaykum, bro. Salaam. Many times you mentioned, you've seen two words from the kabir, from the kabair. Yes, what do you mean by that, and what's the difference?
Kabira?
From the kabair.
The difference between kabira and kabair, kabira is one major sin, it's the singular, and kabair is the plural of that one word. So you say a zina is a kabira.
Yeah.
Zina and killing and magic are three kabair.
Yeah, you said there was eight types of people that should receive zakat, or eight categories or something. Who are these eight people?
Anybody is a hafidh of the Quran? إنما الصدقات للفقراء والمس. In Surah At-Tawbah, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned the eight asnaf who take the zakat. The zakat is for the person who is miskeen and the person who is faqir. And there's a difference between the two. The person who is miskeen and the person who is faqir. The miskeen is a poor person, but he has enough to eat for that day. He has something. And the faqir is the one who doesn't have anything. He is dirt broke. He has nothing at all. Nothing to eat, nothing. The zakat is for those two. And the zakat is for the one who is a wayfarer. He's lost in the street. He's trying to get back to his country. He's here, but he's trying to get back to Somalia and he doesn't have any money. We could give him zakat. And zakat is also for the person who you're trying to incline their hearts towards al-Islam. Kufar, they don't believe in Islam, but you want to bring them to the religion, so you give them money from the zakat. And the zakat is also for the person who goes out for the Muslim state and he collects the zakat. He connects the zakat. And it's also for the one who he owes some money, so you want to get him out of debt so he can ask for the zakat money and he can give the zakat. It's for those eight people. And that ayat is in Surah At-Tawbah. Any more questions, Ikhwani? Tafaddal. Bilal.
What about if you were in the position like where you bought your house and paid off it from the budget, but since then your income doesn't sort of give you the ability to give zakat according to your property or?
If you don't have the ability to do an ibadah from the ibadat of al-Islam, then you don't have to do it. Whether it's zakat or other than that, you pray according to your ability. If you only can pray sitting down, you pray sitting down. If you pray lying down, that's all you can do, you pray lying down. The sister doesn't have to make hajj until she has her own money and until she has a mahram. So anything in al-Islam, if you don't have the ability to do it, Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't make you responsible for doing it. As for paying zakat on the house, these are the type of issues that in the month when we deal with the zakat, we're going to explain. You don't have to pay zakat on your house. Issues of stocks and bonds and issues like that, these questions, you can't just come and give a question. We have to learn the chapter, the bab of a zakat, and then you'll get a better and fuller appreciation of the topic itself. You guys have any more questions, Ikhwani? Any ta'liqat?
Yes,
please. Akhuna.
You mentioned about the car, this has no zakat about that. However, if somebody has cars for business.
As for a person, his inventory, he has cars and he has to pay zakat. If his business is selling cars, then that property that he has to pay the zakat. He has to pay the zakat on that property. Now,
when I spoke to a person recently who returned from Umrah, and he was telling me that time and time again, around in and around the Kaaba, he was approached by all kinds of people saying, "Brother, I'm lost. I've lost my money. Someone's taking my money. I need to get back to my homeland." All kinds of excuses, and he said that he felt that, you know, a lot of this was deception. He was advised by people to ignore them. What's the position on this, especially
when you go to Umrah? The person has to try to have some hikmah. If he feels that the person is pulling a scam, then he doesn't pay at all. Wala karama. He feels that the person is lying, cheating, then he doesn't give him the money. Wala karama. And he looks for those people who are deserving of the money, or they appear to be deserving of the money. But if he chooses to give the money, he'll get his reward with Allah Azza wa Jalla. Everyone knows the hadith of the man who came and he gave the sadaqah one night to the lady who was a zaniya. And then he gave the sadaqah to, and the people said the sadaqah was given to the zaniya. And then the next day he said alhamdulillah for the zaniya. And then he gave the money the next day to a man who was rich. They said the man gave money to a rich man. He said alhamdulillah for the rich man. And then the third day he gave money to a person who was a thief. And then they said the money was given to a thief. He said, alhamdulillah for the thief. As for the zaniya, I hope that she takes the money and she stops making zina. As for the rich man, I hope he takes that money and realizes that he has to give zakat, sadaqah from his money. As for the one who was poor, as for the one who's a thief, I hope he takes that money and it helps him to leave off stealing. So Allah Azza wa Jal will reward the person based upon his niyyah, but he has a responsibility to choose the right person. Because Allah, the Prophet did tell us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ثَلَاثَةٌ يَدْعُونَ اللَّهَ فَلَا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُمْ وَذَكَرَ مِنْهُمْ رَجُلٌ قَدْ آتَى سَفِيهًا مَالَهُ وَقَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَلَا تُؤْتُوا السُّفَهَا أَمْوَالَكُمْ. Three people will make dua and Allah won't answer their dua. And one of them, he said, was the man who gave a foolish person, a safi, his money. And Allah said in the Quran, don't give the sufaha your money. So that guy who's going around stealing, and you know he's like that, and you give him the money, you can possibly fall into this hadith, if you know. Because you saw him doing it to him, he's doing it to him, and he's doing it to him, as we've seen before. In our tent in Hajj, the lady came with a niqab on and she was asking for money. So at another tent without the niqab on and she was asking for money. And that's the job of some of the people. Nasallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Yes, please.
Salaam
alaykum. In the category,
today
categories, what does peace of Allah mean?
Now, concerning the issue of fi sabilillah, there's a lot of ikhtilaf between the ulama. Fi sabilillah is clear that the people who are out in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making jihad, it's clear that that's from the first group. But some of the scholars later on said that fi sabilillah also mean, it could mean being a student of knowledge, that he can get the zakat, even though he's not making jihad. Fi sabilillah can be an individual who built a school, so he can get the zakat. Fi sabilillah could be the one who built the masjid, so the money can be given to the masjid. Some of the scholars said, no, you can't do that. Fi sabilillah is clear. Fi sabilillah means the one who is fighting in the cause of Allah. But those people who say you can give it to a student of knowledge or a school or a masjid, they have proof where these situations were called, similar situations were called fi sabilillah. Wallahu a'la wa a'lam.